Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast. And welcome to episode number 69, Casino Dangers. And we're coming to you today from beautiful Western Pennsylvania on this August 8th, 2019 afternoon. And hey, our digital audience is back, a little smaller today. Hi, everybody. So as I said, everybody wants to be outside. We couldn't get them here. Oh, I just love these digital audiences we have. Well, we have a very serious mainstream topic today, casino dangers. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about a list that appeared. It was done by TripAdvisor. I'm sure some of you have written TripAdvisor reviews. Well, what the company did was take a look at all their five-star reviews in relation to the entire reviews, about a certain venue. And they listed the top 50 casinos in the United States. Now, the only thing that's being compared here are five-star reviews in relation to all the reviews that's done about that particular venue. It's not about, who has more table games, who has a better nightclub, etc. But nonetheless, I think the list is very interesting. I'm not going to go through all 50, but I'm going to pull out some of the highlights. No surprise to me that the top two casino resorts, number one and number two in the country, according to five-star reviews by TripAdvisor, are in Las Vegas, and they're on the Las Vegas Strip. But it might surprise you who they are. In first place, the Wynn, and in second place, the Encore. Oh, not hip enough, huh? Well, customer service and five-star reviews go together, and I don't know if they're the best in the country, but they're pretty darn good. I've stayed in both and enjoyed both. Let's go to the rest of the top 10, just so you can get a handle on how interesting this might be. The Beau Rivage in Biloxi, Mississippi is number 3. Out of 7,967 five-star reviews, and total reviews was 10,858. That's impressive. This casino is a big casino. 110 table games and 1,800 gaming machines. We call them slots, of course. It's the tallest building in Mississippi with 1,780 rooms and 95 luxury suites. I've had some offers to go there for free, never took advantage of them yet, but Jenny and I plan to make that trip one day to Biloxi, Mississippi for the Beau Rivage, voted the number 3 casino in the country. In at number 4, the Windstar World Casino in Thackerville, Oklahoma. Oh my. And it got 5,481 five-star reviews out of 7,609. This is a big, big casino. It has 400,000 square feet of gaming space. And so, using gaming space as the barometer, it is the biggest casino in the United States. And of course, it's a tribal casino as well. Don't know much about history. You know what? I don't know much about Harrah's in New Orleans, Louisiana. And they were number 5 in the country. It opened in 1999, 105 table games, 1,500 gaming machines, and they got 5,653 five-star reviews out of a total of 8,028. That's impressive. Number 6 on the list, we're back in Las Vegas at the Palazzo. Yeah, oh my goodness. Out of 17,663 reviews, they got 12,378 five-star reviews. This goes back to 2007, their opening, and presently they have 159 table games and 2,700 gaming machines. Oh my. The Palazzo also has an 85,000 square foot Barney's New York, along with many other shops. Number 7 on the list, from my neck of the woods, on the property of Nemacolin Woodlands Resort in Farmington, Pennsylvania, is the casino Lady Luck. And oh my goodness, they're the only Pennsylvania casino in the top 50. Small casino, 28 table games, and 600 gaming machines. But people love it, and they get those five-star reviews. So they're on it. And you know what? Just a few days ago, I was there for the Three Amigos reunion, gambling with some old friends and meeting some fans in our local area. And we had a beautiful time.
You having a laugh?
Is he having a laugh?
Yes, I am. Hey, let's go to the next one on the Nemacolin Woodlands Resort, Lady Luck Casino. It's number 7 based on 5-star reviews. Yes, it is. Number 7, Lady Luck Casino in Farmington, PA. We're going to Reno, and we'll be there in October. And we may visit the Atlantis Casino Resort Spa because it is the number 8 casino in the country. Yes, 1,463 gaming machines and 40 table games. But they have a big spa, 30,000 square feet. Now let's jump across the country for number 9, all the way to the state of Washington, the Northern Quest Resort Casino in Airway Heights, Washington.
Very special place. They're number 9.
And this casino has 37 table games and 1,650 gaming machines. It's also a tribal casino, and it keeps the patrons happy, as you can see.
And now let's round out the top 10.
Okay, and number 10, also a tribal casino, and we're going to jump to Oregon, the Seven Feathers Hotel in Canyonville, Oregon. It has 26 table games and 900 gaming machines. Again, the management of the casino is such that people want to give it 5-star reviews, and that's impressive. Top 10 casinos. If you want to see the complete list, let me tell you how you can do it very quickly. Go to Facebook, look for our Facebook post, Casino USA's Facebook post. Our group is called Casinos USA, written as 2 words, casinos and then USA. And all you have to agree to is you won't advertise without our permission and that you're 21. And our first slide is the top 50 casinos according to 5-star reviews by TripAdvisor into TripAdvisor. So you can get all 50 and see if your casino favorites are on that list. Okay? Remember, Facebook, Casinos USA, no charge. Have fun. Join it. We're almost with 500 people there, so, you know, the more the merrier. Okay. All right, we're going to take a short break and come back for our serious topic, casino dangers.
Well, you get it, and we're talking about fires, and Las Vegas has had far too many hotel fires, casino fires, and the biggest one of all, of course, was in 1980, the MGM, and it's the second biggest fire in the United States history of hotel fires. Unfortunately, sad to say that 70 people were killed and 700 people were injured, and of course, there were no regulations about sprinklers on every floor and in every room. And there were no regulations about sirens inside the building that would make sure that to alert everyone. And after that fire, the Nevada legislature took action. And of course, it made it better for all future buildings and all future tourists to hotel. But based on that tragedy, it's now required to have sprinklers throughout the building and in all the hotel rooms, and also to have sirens that work for every floor to alert every guest. Oh my goodness, such a sad, sad story. You know, fires occur sometimes because of arson. You know, someone just sets something on fire. You know, they're angry about something. They're angry about getting fired or being chewed out by a supervisor, or they're sick people and they want to start a fire. Accidental fires created by all that electricity, all that electrical power pouring into the air conditioning, the refrigeration units, etc. Maybe shoddy wiring, something's wrong, creates a fire inside the system. Casinos have restaurants, etc. We were at Frontier one night when there was a kitchen fire, and we were looking out the window. This is almost midnight. We're looking at the window of our hotel room, looking down on fire trucks. Nobody even called us. Eventually they did to say, you're safe, you don't have to come out of the room. But there's just too many fires. You know, I was thinking about the one at the Cosmopolitan just a few summers ago where their plastic palm trees in the swimming pool caught on fire and set one of the floors of the hotel on fire. Despite all the technology now about fire safety, Fire in hotels is still a danger. And we want you to understand that when you check in, one of the first things you should do is take a look at how you get out in case of a fire emergency. You know, you want to get, you're excited, you want to get unpacked, you want to get going. But take a look and make sure that you understand where to go, what to do, what not to do in case there was a fire alarm. And we found ourselves outside one night because the alarm went off and we were in a parking lot and it was still winter and we were shaking. Now we know if we're somewhere in a winter, we're going to have our wallets, purses, jackets close where we can grab them and get out, you know, get out the way they're telling you to. Fires in Las Vegas, still a problem. Doesn't stop me from going there, but just something you have to be aware of. Fire safety. Yes, indeed. That fire at the MGM in 1980, that building changed hands, and it's now called Bally's. And, of course, Bally's has been rebuilt. I believe that every room in the Bally's Hotel for a few months, they're all done. They're all been refurbished. This is not about that fire, but they just are renewed. So that was long ago, 1980, but it was an historic fire, the second biggest hotel fire in our history here in the United States of America. Hey, a second casino danger, much more common than hotel fires, too common, unfortunately, are what I'm going to call you street crime that comes into the casino or follows you out of the casino into a parking garage, a lonely corridor, or out on the strip. And that is because you celebrate, perhaps. When you win, you get a big hit at the slot machine. I know I do at the craps table. Make a lot of noise, call attention to myself. But if someone's watching you or me, you have to take your voucher from that slot machine and I have to take the chips from the craps table to the cashier and I have to cash them out. And someone's watching me, watching you. They know that we now have good old-fashioned American currency in our purse, in our wallets, and follow us into a restroom, follow us into a more isolated area of the casino, follow us to a parking garage. These are all plausible things that happen. And so that's why it's good to be under the radar sometimes when you win. And if you do celebrate, don't cash out right away. don't run to a cage. Everybody's, hey, he's cashing out. She's cashing out. There's a couple of things to talk about with parking garages. It's around the country, all casinos have issues in their parking garages. But I just say to people, if you're going to be at a casino at nighttime, use valet parking. Oh, you have to pay for it, you say? Yeah, I agree. In Las Vegas, it's only a few casinos that offer free parking. But my point is, if you can't afford valet parking, because sometimes it's very inexpensive. Like, for example, here in Pittsburgh, it's $5 to use the Rivers Valet. And if you have a player's card, it's reduced to $3. Well, my point is, if you can't afford $3, you shouldn't be at a casino. Just don't put yourself at risk. And ladies, if you're by yourself, use the valet, okay? Do not go into a parking garage. It's not safe for man or woman, but women are attacked more frequently in parking garages than men. So be very cautious. Use the valet. Consider it, please. Another thing that's a casino danger is this sense of like, hey, everybody's a friend, everybody's a buddy. Everybody's worth talking to. And you're sitting at the bar and someone brings you a drink. Hey, here's one on me. Do not take a drink from someone who brings you a drink. You know, if they buy you a drink and the bartender makes it, that's something different. But anything from ecstasy to something else, some other kind of knockout concoction could be in that drink. Do not be so trustful with strangers. Do not be so trustful. Do not take a drink from someone you don't know if they hand you a drink. Please, that's a casino danger. Number four, if you drink to the point of complete intoxication where you can barely walk, find yourself unable to defend yourself, you know, drinking to oblivion, gambling, and moving about in a casino is a danger. If you can't drink responsibly, don't drink. And if you are not able to behave yourself and you definitely feel that you're confused, you don't know where your room is, etc., go to security. Ask them to walk you to your room. Ask them to walk you to your car. You know, they'll do it. They'll do it. They might ask you to go to, you know, a little coffee shop in the casino and get some coffee and sit for a while. But do not try to motor about, move about when you are intoxicated, because you are a moving target. Yes, you are a moving target. And the last couple of things we want to say about casino dangers is not life-threatening, but it's vacation-threatening. And sometimes you just go overboard with your gambling all too soon because you don't have a daily loss limit. And what happens is you're there for the weekend and it's Friday, it's 1 a.m., and you're broke. You lost it all. You got all day Saturday and half the day on Sunday before you go home. You're broke. And so you're likely to go to a credit card with a cash advance, and that's just something you want to avoid. That just makes no sense. So have the self-discipline to stick to a loss limit. And when you hit it, you're done for the day. You're done. You're done for the evening. Live to fight another day. Live to gamble another time. You know, you just can't chase losses constantly because you will be without any funds before you know it. All right? Maybe next time you won't lose. Maybe next time you'll win. But if you lose all your money in one sitting, there won't be a next time in many cases. Okay, casino dangers, they're real. And please keep them in mind. Fire, street crime, you know, particularly in parking garages, people following you from the cashier's cage, anywhere in the casino, you're vulnerable. Drinking to oblivion, not being able to move about, not being able to defend yourself, not being able to think logically. And then on a lighter note, just gambling away your money in one sitting as soon as you arrive in Las Vegas. These are all dangers that we want you to avoid. And the final note that everybody has to remember, you're in a desert and you have to protect yourself from the sun. So don't think, you know, you're Mr. Tough Guy. You can go out for 3 hours, you know, in June without sunscreen to the swimming pool. You can go out for 3 hours with sunscreen, maybe. Without sunscreen, you're in a heap of trouble, friend. You're in a heap of trouble. Okay, let's move to Craps Talk. Ready for the countdown.
3, 2, 1.
Excellent. Absolutely excellent.
And of course, the gentleman was referring to our best low roller crap system put on Color Up by Jeremy Ellerick. It's had 113,000 views in just a little more than 10 months. 673 thumbs up and 42 thumbs down. Boo, boo. Hey, but it's for low rollers and it's a system to play the pass line and to win a little bit of money. And both the systems that we have on Color Up, and Jeremy is the one who chooses, of course, what goes on there, have won money when they were demonstrated. You know, I have to say recently, the systems that I've seen have lost money. Now, anything can happen in 25, 35 minutes, you know, of a typical Color Up video. But nonetheless, we've won both times with a pass line strategy we call 3-2-1 craps. And if you follow it a little bit, you'll pick it up in about 2 minutes. And the other one was Deal or No Deal, which is a don't pass hybrid type of system where you hedge place bets by what you do on a don't pass line and with don't pass odds. So take a look at that too. We don't play it as much as we play the pass line, but sometimes we play it and we're happy we did, because if we'd have stayed in the pass line, we'd have got wiped out. But I wanted to talk to you today about an experience I just had. As you follow the podcast and maybe the Facebook group that Casinos USA offers, we just came back from what we called a Three Amigo reunion, and it's really a reunion of great friends who were instrumental in the starting of Casinos USA. You know, we were taking a casino journey in listening to podcasts, and they encouraged me to start one. Because Coach Fab, you could do as good as anybody, you know. So, and I don't know if that's true, but we are averaging 855 plays a day of our podcast, and we want to get to 1,000. But nonetheless, we're always talking craps, thinking craps, playing craps several times a week sometimes. And just a day or two ago, I came back from Lady Luck Casino, which is on a five-star resort called Nemacolin Woodlands Resort. It's in Farmington, Pennsylvania. And it has to be one of the most impressive resorts in the United States. It has over 2,000 acres, and there's something for everybody. Two beautiful swimming pools, all kinds of places to stay, you know, from townhouses that you rent to upscale suites. It's just a beautiful, absolutely gorgeous place. You have to check it out online. But the casino there is called Lady Luck, and we were playing in the middle of the afternoon, and still there was 5-6 people playing, and I knew I was only going to play about 45 minutes. So I'm going to tell you that I won $25. So, you know, if I have a job that can give me $25 every 45 minutes, that's not so bad, especially if the job's a lot of fun. But what I did is I didn't play the pass line or the down pass. I waited until a shooter established a point, and then I waited for the first roll because I didn't want to go 7 out on that first roll. I mean, that just sets me off, you know. It takes the air out of the tires, you know. So I decided I'll do my thing on the second roll and so forth. And what I did was I went with the Iron Cross, Fremont Street Grind, whatever you call it. Never a 7 by one of Jeremy's color-up videos. But I'm going to slow down and give you the details of how I did it at Lady Luck. I might do it differently some other places. And I'll talk about maybe some of the other things I didn't do that I normally do, but I didn't do it at Lady Luck. So here we go. This is what I did. And remember, I didn't do it on the come-out roll. I didn't play on the come-out roll. And I waited until after the first roll to avoid a sudden, upsetting 7 out on that first roll. So here we go. Here's my details of play. So I wasn't going to make any bets until after the come-out roll. I just wanted to leave that out. Now, there's, you know, other systems we play, we have a bet on the pass line and a down pass line, but we just stayed out of it altogether. All right, so then the shooter's either going to get a 7-11, a 2-3-12, or he or she's going to establish a point, you know, 4-5, 6-8, 9, or 10. So we're going to wait one roll, and again, it's just because a 7 out after a point's been established on the first roll just sets off my frame of mind. I don't know. You know, little things like pet peeves. It's more than a pet peeve. It's like, oh my goodness, I can't stay at this table if I'm going to do that. So I waited one roll, and I think over the course of the 45 minutes, there were 3 7 outs on the first roll. So it was good that I, because every time I would 7 out, realize I have $17 on numbers, a $5 5, a $6 6, a $6 8. These are all 1 units at a $5 table. And $5 on the field, so that's $22 at risk. And if you catch a 7 out, bang, you're down 22. You didn't make anything at all. Okay, so the field, if you don't know, it is every number but the 5, 6, 8, and the 7. The 7, of course, wouldn't be a point of any kind. So if they don't roll a 7, you're going to win at least $2. For example, if on the second, third, and continued rolls, if they throw a 5, you're going to lose the field but win $7. So it's a plus 2 for you because, you know, you lost the field. There's no 5 on the field, but you won the $7 on the 5, so you only won $2. The same would be true of the 6 or 8. There you go. You're going to win $2 instead of the 7 because you lost $5 on the field. Now, a recent video I saw on ColorUp called Anything But 7 had a flaw in it, I thought, because they didn't place the 5. Like, you're really adding to your risk, and I'm risk averse, to cover every number. For example, if you had $5 on the field and you didn't have a 5 placed, you'd lose the field completely. You'd lose $5 instead of winning $2. This makes a difference over time. So if you're going to play the field, remember to cover the 5, 6, 8. It's really nice when you're playing pass line and one of those numbers is the point, you know, so that makes it a little easier. But 5, 6, 8 field is technically the iron cross. Okay, now what I did was a little bit different. If any other number but a 5, 6, 8 or a 7 hit, say for example, the 4 hit, so I would win $5 on that field bet, the 5, 6, and 8 would stay the same, no loss there. But I would stop betting the field. I would take that $10, my original $5 chip in the field and the $5 I won, and I would place the 9 and 10. So now I have one unit on the 5, 6, 8, 9, 10. And I would no longer play the field. So you could say that I really have $27 at risk instead of $32 because that 1-5 is house money. That makes sense. So I have $27 at risk, and I was just staying up for two hits in a 45-minute game. So every time I got a hit, I won $7. Now, that's not true. I won $9 on the 10. The 5 and 9 pay 7 on a $5 bet, and the 6 and 8 pay 7 on a $6 bet. And the 10 pays $9. So I didn't have anything on the 4. All right, and this is something I seldom do. I didn't have any money. I didn't put any of those dollars on the hard numbers. You know, usually if I was playing the way I normally do, if I would get a 5, I'd win 7, I'd throw 2 on a hard 10, you know. If I'd get a 6, win 7, I'd throw $2 on either the hard 10, press it, or on another hard number. And those are kind of like whims, I guess. Sometimes they pay off, too. But I wasn't doing that. And one of the strange things about the time at the table, because I'm always watching for these hard numbers, because if one or two would have hit, I would have started playing the way I normally do. There was not a hard number thrown for 45 minutes. And I think that has to be the longest period of time I've ever seen where there hasn't been a hard number in 45 minutes. Maybe you've been longer, you know. Hey, give me a call if that's the case, if you've seen like an hour go by or an hour and a half go by and no hard numbers appeared. So there were several times when people, I would win $7, and then people would 7 out on the fourth roll. You know, so I'd win on the second roll, the third roll, win another 7, and then 7 out. And then, you know, I would lose that $27, and I'd start over again with 5, 6, 8 filled. You know, so that's what I did for 45 minutes. And after 45 minutes, I was up $25. And then I went back to the crew, and we compared notes. One of them played video poker for 45 minutes. Keno, Nick, and Scott, can you believe this? Played Keno from a Keno slot machine. You can't stop these two guys, you know, from Keno. And Rick played blackjack, and I was the only one that wanted any money. So, you know, $25. It's $25, friend. What can I say? So that's what it was. Now, why did I play that way? Because I knew I was only going to play 45 minutes. And then I thought, you know, if I catch a hot table, maybe I'll get off the 5, 6, 8 field and, you know, start playing 3, 2, 1 craps, for example, you know, pass line craps. And if I catch a real cold table, maybe I'll start playing the dome pass with odds and bet the 6-8, you know, and then my dome pass, then the odds bet would be hedging the 6-8. But in talking about hedging, I want to change the subject just shortly to a shout out to Gene, a listener from Colorado who is recovering from rotator cuff surgery. Gene, I think, is maybe the highest high roller that listens to the show because we're so oriented toward low rollers, but Gene is so complimentary, and we have a lot of similarities in our style of play, except when it comes to how much money we wager. But I wish I had those circumstances, you know, so I'm never jealous of anybody like that. I'm just happy for him. But Gene had a serious fall while sport fishing, and he really had a severe injury to the muscles and tendons of a shoulder, and he's under recovery now. Gene is also very astute when it comes to horse racing. Super trifecta-wise, he won $100,000 at this year's Kentucky Derby and following that in other races. And what makes a high roller in craps? Well, I like to lay the 4 and 10, and then because those are heads then, I do other things with the 5, 6, 8 field, for example. But Gene gets his impulses where he lays the 4 and 10 for 6,000, 10,000, you know, maybe $1,000 hedge on hard ways, who knows. But we love the guy, and he's a very wise gambler and very successful gambler. But Gene, we're wishing you all of us at Casinos USA, and especially Janie and myself, we're wishing you the fastest recovery. She get back to that craps table, and I hope the shoulder that was injured was not your dice-throwing shoulder, for goodness sakes. And if it was, well, let's just get that thing fixed up and ready to go. And I'm looking forward to the time when we could get together and shoot some craps together. So shout out to Gene from Colorado. So we'll take a very short break and come right back with Janie, who's going to read and talk a little bit about a press release out of Las Vegas on August 5th that's probably going to affect nearly everyone who watches the NFL football and who also enjoys Las Vegas. So Janie, be right back after this short break.
Hi everyone, it's Jane. As of August 5th, 2019, press release. The Raiders and Allegiant Airlines announced an agreement for the naming rights to the Las Vegas Stadium, which is under construction. The Raiders president said that they're thrilled that the future home will be known as Allegiant Stadium. He also went on to say, and I quote, "As a hometown airline, Allegiant is the perfect partner to showcase the incredible support we continue to receive from the Southern Nevada community." End of quote. I have to say, I didn't even know that Allegiant was a hometown airline for Las Vegas, but I do know. Allegiant Stadium will also serve as site of the Las Vegas Bowl, which beginning in 2020, which will feature a Pac-12 opponent versus either a Big Ten, possibly, or an SEC opponent. Well, that should be interesting. Allegiant Stadium is also where UNLV will play its football home games now. And also, now NFL fans can, across the country, can go and have an excuse to go to Las Vegas to follow their team and gamble and enjoy the city. And they can be right alongside the NHL fans that go to enjoy their home teams that play there when they play the Knights. And, you know, I can't really wait to see if they have the occasion like we've had in Pittsburgh where we've had a hockey game, a Penguins hockey game in Pittsburgh and a Steelers football game on the same day. One's playing in the afternoon, one's playing in the evening, or vice versa, depending on who has the TV game that night. But that will probably happen in Las Vegas, too. And I told one of the cab drivers there, last year, he was taking my granddaughter and I, we were going up the one end of the strip, and he took us past the arena for hockey. And then he said, "Well, you know, they're building the stadium." I said, "Oh, yeah, we saw that under construction." And he said, "Oh, the traffic now is bad." I said, "Well, you wait. You haven't seen anything yet till you get the football and a hockey game on the same day." But I would say that the best city to have these crowds for any games is Las Vegas. Nobody handles crowds the way Las Vegas can. Nobody has the hotel capacity, let's face it. There's just enough rooms there for everybody. Certainly enough restaurants and eating establishments. And on that note, I would say that one of the areas that's going to benefit from where the Raiders Stadium is would be the one end of the strip where South. The south end of the strip where MGM owns most of those hotels, being Mandalay Bay, the Luxor, Excalibur, New York, Park MGM. The Tropicana is not owned by them, but they're down there too, so they'll make out. Actually, all those hotels will. Well, I saw the difference just from the hockey team being there. When the first year they started, we happened to be at Bally's, and it was interesting and it was fun seeing all. They were playing the Capitals. This was a regular season game. They were playing the Capitals there, and all the Capital fans were there in their jerseys. I mean, I think that's always fun. I've always liked that in any casino I've been to, and I've been to the Blue Chip when Chicago's playing. And I've been to Cincinnati when they're playing, and or when the Steelers, our team, has been playing in both of those venues. And that's just a lot of fun. Okay, just wanted to let you know about that new piece of information. Keep that strip growing.
Those are several.
Hey, Janie, before we close out here, you forgot to mention your favorite team in Las Vegas. I know you love the Golden Knights. I know you're not a Raiders fan. And I think you're impressed by Allegiant Stadium, what we saw. But do you recall quickly what your favorite team is?
Well, it's the Aces, the WNBA Aces. I like that team too. So there's the third big team that you can go out there and cheer for and maybe see at the same time.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? Well, hey, thanks for listening, everybody. And as always, Casinos USA is a place where...
Every day
is Saturday. See you in a couple weeks. So long.